100 word stories.
Good morning, everyone. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 word stories podcast at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. Not dead yet, and it's Sunday, so that means the weekly challenge. I post the topic and you come up with the stories. Hey, it's a pick two. Meter, dash, not dash, bash. It's right there with a B. Yell, iridescent, goon, opulent, mango, traffic. A lot of weird words. What did you do when you put them together, or two of them, because it's a pick two, it's not a pick 27, and what'd you come up with? We got stories from Lizzie, Richard, Charlie, Tom, Serendipity, John, Jeffrey, Norval Joe, Liana, Dwayne, Tura, and Planet Z. If your name wasn't on that list, I didn't get your email, or you didn't participate. I want you to participate in these weekly challenges. I want you to have fun creating, if you want to. And if you do, and you got to send in the story a little late, that's okay. I'll put it up on the feed in a separate post. Oh, I should probably share the stories that people sent in. Let's go.
Lonai people, Tom here, and my stories this evening are called South of Congress and Just a Breath Away. First story. I knew this guy named Mickey who loved to bash parking meters with a 16-pound sledge. Guy had biceps the size of melons. One swing, bam. Kids would follow after him to gather up the spray of municipal piñatas. When it got damn hot on the south side, Mickey would open a fire hydrant. You'd think his career would have been curtailed by the local gendarme. Au contraire, mon ami. He ran and won a seat in the city council. Alderman Mickey, they called him. Got all the parking meters removed and got 4 community swimming pools built. And story 2. Lily was an unusual child, a quiet grace and a searing sense of purpose. Her secret garden was a local haven for hordes of butterflies. Do you hear that? She would ask a selective visitor. Would smile, give fanciful account of an ethereal nature. Few passed the initial tests, so few survived the attack of a million butterfly wings. The song she sang to her flock was sweetness dipped in daggers. She called it her iridescent yell. Then she would giggle and add, it was an invitation to supper. You have no idea how voracious an appetite a butterfly has. And that's it for this week. Good night, America, wherever you are.
Good morning, it's Richard, and this was a pick two. So, two stories. And I've picked, for the first topic, iridescent and mango. It's called taxonomy. There are few creatures as bizarrely named as the iridescent mango butterfly, which is neither iridescent nor does it have any connection with the mango. Also, it's not a butterfly at all. It's actually a small, brown, incredibly venomous snake. Many explanations have been proposed for how a snake could have been so badly classified, but none have been entirely satisfactory, and no one really knows for sure. I have my own pet theory. I think it's what the snake wishes to be called, and with something so venomous, nobody is stupid enough to argue the point with it. The second story is called Traffic, and it's on the topics of traffic and meter. My eyes kept darting to the meter on the dashboard, and I cursed the heavy traffic. This is what you get for waiting to the last minute before leaving for the airport. I'd forgotten the rush hour traffic, and now not only might I miss my plane, but it was going to cost me dear. I ignored the phone buzzing in my pocket, and, thoroughly fed up, told the cab to stop and headed for the nearest bar. I'd get the next flight. It was only then that I remembered. I had everyone else's passports in my luggage. There you go. So until next time, goodbye.
Sea Song by John DeCleese. Oh, rock me in the deep where the big rocks sway beneath their coats of green and slimy moss. The cool, cold deep where the fishes dream and the crabs click their claws and the shrimp make little popping songs while the big whales moan happily about their long journeys, sharing the up and down of their deep scales with the up and down of their swim, big back fins propelling them until they break and blow and steam like geysers on a rolling landscape where all is water and there is no rocky ground. Rock me like a whale. Hating the Nasty Parking Meter by John DeCleese. With an iridescent yell, Alice the Goon bashed the parking meter again and again. She stood in fury beside the stream of Hollywood traffic, wondering how, on a night when the moon was as opulent and gibbous as a celestial mango, anything could be so totally frustrating. Popeye had given her all the change from his pockets, but none of it fitted in the little slots. She looked more closely at the coins. The pictures were all wrong. They seemed to be from the state of Las Vegas. She started to bash again, then decided to drive back to Toontown.
The meter would record the impact delivered by the bumper as I bashed the obnoxious pedestrian for bellowing as he blocked my truck. Although he wore an iridescent stripe on his sweatsuit, he ran, carelessly, into the crosswalk from the left. The goon made an opulent gesture, standing in the crosswalk, and in my path. His mango pumpkin latte clutched in his hand, he screamed and ranted. I popped the clutch, hitting him at groin level, breaking his hip and smashing his nuts. I slipped away in the dark and bought a big breakfast after washing gore out of my grill. Number 2. I suffer in goon traffic twice a day commuting to school. Goon traffic is composed of people that try to grab an extra 10 minutes of sleep or 5 more minutes of makeup or application of hair products. I rigged a windshield wiper pump to a small hose running through my back bumper. I hit the motor button if anyone is tailgating, and squirt a quart or so of cooking oil mist in front of them. The oil mist covers their windscreen, and fails to go away when they try to use their window washer. Wetting it makes it worse. Number 3. Billed as the opulent mango, Lulu commanded the stage at Club Bugassi. Lulu could do things that would shame the dancers at the Blue Fox in Tijuana. Sailors on Liberty would flock to the Bugassi. Lulu started her career when she was only 16. She lied about her age, and constructed an elaborate backstory that included being left an orphan. Don DeMarco, the club manager, tried to take advantage of Lulu, but she rebuffed his advances and reminded him that she had friends in the mob that would smash in his face and cut off his schwitz if he continued.
Hey everyone, Leanna here for another 100 Word Story Challenge. I apologize if you hear the dog snoring in the background. I hope everyone is having or had a wonderful Halloween week. For this week's challenge number 601 with a pick two, I picked all, and wrote the following nonsense titled One for Humanity. Music is by bensound.com. That meathead Max flipped his shit again yesterday when the parking meter sprung. Time expired, startling him as he passed. Using brute strength, Max tore the device out of the ground, waving it wildly at traffic as he yelled. A Volks was bashed before I could come to the rescue with my iridescent mango. Its sparkle and shine caught Max's attention. The big goon followed my opulent fruit off the streets and I led him home, where I handed the jewel over to pacify his lunatic rage. I still had plenty left over in my bag for the art showcase.
Hey, Dwayne here, with another 100-word story. And now, Iridescent Mango. The rise of Iridescent Mango is like any other electronic rock band. The opulent lifestyle, the bashing up hotel rooms, the fighting with paparazzi. What few people know is that the band was a cover for an evil scheme hatched by the lead synth player. While the audience was enjoying calming rhythms and synthetic melodies, hired goons would be at their homes, rolling their electricity meters forward. By the time anyone noticed, the band was long gone, with a cut from the power company. Yet, this was just a cover-up for their illegal trafficking in My Little Pony collectibles.
Hello. This is Philip Norval Joe Carroll's computer again. You know the story. Here is his entry for the 100-word weekly challenge number 601, with the pick 2 challenge. With Richard about to overtake him, Philip's written two stories this week to try to hold off the inevitable, for one more challenge. Here's his first story. Axel stumbled back to the family's cube. His parents were in the living room, eating dinner. His mother looked his way as he entered, and said, "I didn't synthesize your dinner. I wasn't sure when you'd be home." His father didn't look away from the entertainment screen. Axel stood a meter away from his parents, and they couldn't see that he'd been beaten within a hair's breadth of his life. He wanted to yell and jump up and down, just to get them to acknowledge his existence. It wasn't worth it. He would just find some other place to live. And here is story number two. The invasion began so small and unnoticeable beneath the awareness of most of the humans, that by the time they realized the creatures were upon them, it was too late. First one, then another, then more and more until thousands joined the first wave of intruders. They crowded the streets, bashing into fences and walls. Stopping traffic as they made their way to the center of town, howling and barking, and gnashing their vicious teeth on anything but one another. They left as suddenly as they had come, and no one knew why. They were, after all, only wiener dogs. Thanks for listening. Good luck to all you NaNoWriMo writers this week. And we'll see you next week.
This is Serendipity, and here's my story for this week. How very apt that this is a birthday bash. It is, after all, your birthday. And I am going to thoroughly enjoy giving you a good bashing. It's your own fault. You really should have invited me. And the look of disdain you gave me when I arrived made it clear I was an unwelcome guest. So, I've waited until now with your gift. Don't you just love party games that see you locked in a dark cupboard with your nemesis? So yell all you like. No one will hear. And let's see how you like your new baseball bat.
Hello everyone, Lizzie here. The end of the month is upon us again. And so I chose Yell in Traffic. And I've already recorded this about 100 million times. So let's see if this one is the final recording. So here goes the story. He put his glasses down. The letter had arrived. He half expected it to be what it was. He didn't expect it to be that bitter, though. What hurt him the most was when she wrote she felt like yelling to the world he was trafficking women into the colony. He was, true, but still, it hurt to see it written down on paper. The lawyer told him she was trouble, but he loved her so much he didn't have the heart to kill her. He trafficked her to LO28. It cost him a fortune, because they don't like humans there. And this is my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodcough.blogspot.com, and I'll talk to you next week. Hooray! I think this is the final recording. Bye-bye.
Tora Brizzino here with a story on the words yell and traffic, but the title is Training Exercise. Butt northeast, 3 miles, called the lookout. Listen up, men, shouted the sergeant. You've been told you're here to rescue trafficked refugees. Look around you. Does it look like you're equipped to take 50 people aboard? This is where you prove that you can hit more than a paper target. Our mission is to make sure that nobody, repeat, nobody, survives from that boat. Anyone who doesn't fire will join them. We drew closer. 2 people on the refugee boat stood up, holding rifles and yelling at us to keep away. We took them out first. Then the slaughter began.
Good evening, it's Jeffrey Fisher, procrastinating on week 601 until Saturday night, so hoping to get this in on time. My story tonight is called The Big Game. Traffic was horrendous to the big game, but after parking our RV, we made it to our $200 nosebleed seats in time. I went for food and drink. The only line that wasn't 2 dozen deep was the health food kiosk. Health food at a stadium? Whatever happened to nachos and $15 gassy beers? I bought a pair of mango spinach smoothies in iridescent green. My companion took one look and started yelling at me. I sucked on the straw and spat out the viscous liquid. My team then lost by 3 touchdowns. They don't make big games the way they used to. And that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week.
Take a trip with me to planet Z.
I remember the first time I heard of the Goon Show. I was a preschooler, wandering through the public library, looking for books about Popeye the Sailor. I'd wandered out of the children's section and found a book that had Goon in the title. Goons were those weird monsters in Popeye, right? I opened the book, but instead of Popeye, it was a bunch of words and some photos of three old men around a microphone. I put the book back and kept looking. Eventually, I found a book about clowns. Well, one clown, named Pennywise. I never slept again.
And there you have it, a whole bunch of stories on that whole glut of Pick 2 topics. Why do I do those if I'm not going to remember all the topics? Speaking of not remembering, I had to go to oneadayuntilthedayidie.com to see what next week's topic is. That's how bad my memory is. And it's point. I was thinking rock? No, that was before. And I was thinking roll? No, that's rock and roll. Yeah, I am up too early. I know I should re-record this. You don't need yawns. You don't need all that stuff when you're driving. Or playing racquetball. Or whatever you're doing while listening to this. I've asked this so many times before. So I won't. Go do what you do. Enjoy. Grocery shop. Well, I did that yesterday. And I stuck to mostly healthy things. And then I picked up a pizza. But hey, isn't pizza supposed to be healthy? You know, it's just so crazy. I gotta watch out for fructose and high fructose corn syrup and eggs and spicy foods. Getting older sucks. So, anyway, thank you all for listening and being a part of this. And as always, keep it brief.